T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it!
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
Boy, that was a, as I told Scraby off the air, that was a pig of a game.
And Chris Ello.
I feel like I'm terrible at this game. I just don't pick the right ones.
Because apparently there's weighted answers.
Oh,
he
stop
is
it.
A bitter, Scraby. bitter human being.
Stop it.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, top of the hour to you. Welcome back to the program. 5:01 is the time. Chris Ello, Mr. Scraby alongside Tony Gwynn Jr. getting set to call tonight's game between the Padres and the Pittsburgh Pirates. We will muddle through without him for the final hour of our show today. Braden Suprenant brings us the pregame show at just after 6 o'clock this evening. Then Denelson Lamet gets the start tonight for the Padres. A lot of people probably on their way home from work weren't aware of that. The decision wasn't made until this afternoon sometime, probably about 1:30, 2 o'clock is when the announcement came from the Padres that, yes, indeed, it would be Lamet. We'll find out what took so long. We're going to hear from Jace Tingler here in this segment. But want to remind everybody that you're going to have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Luke Bryan's Proud to Be Right Here tour. It's coming to the North Island Credit Union Amphitheater on September 23rd, 2021. Tickets and information at livenation.com, or just win them here. Probably going to give them away in the next segment, so stick around here for a little bit, and you'll have a chance to see Luke Bryan in concert, the Proud to Be Right Here tour. It's so nice to be promoting a concert
right
at long last after so long without them. So stick around for that, and we will be giving those tickets away here in just a little bit. Also coming up on the show, Brent Sobleski will join us from Bleacher Report. Is that at 5:20 or at 5:30, Mr. Scraby?
What did I put on the sheet?
You put 5:20 on the sheet, but you told me earlier 5:30.
You're correct. You're right. It is 5:30.
5:30.
My apologies.
So, bottom of the hour, Brent Sobleski from Bleacher Report. He's their NFL writer. We will ask him, why was Scraby crying at the selection of Trey Lance by the 49ers, the quarterback out of North Dakota State? That and other draft-related issues that we will deal with Brent Sobleski coming up at the bottom of this hour. But right now, in New York, the Ooh. Astros and the Yankees are playing. For the first time since the Yankee fans have had a chance to get at the Astros, since the whole cheating scandal broke. And, of course, in 2017, on their way to the World Series, the Astros beat the Yankees in 7 games. And in 2019, the Astros eliminated the Yankees on a walk-off home run by Jose Altuve in the bottom of the 9th inning of Game 6 of the playoff series. And, of course, Altuve famously would not allow his jersey to be torn off. And everybody thought it was because he had a wiretap tell him what pitches
Don't
were coming.
Take my shirt off.
Exactly. So that's from that. And this is the first time the Astros have gone to New York. Love to be able to play you the audio of what the Yankee fans are chanting in unison toward Jose Altuve at Yankee Stadium right now. But we can't.
We can't.
We would be taken off the air. We wouldn't get fired. I mean, the whole station would just get taken off the air. And we wouldn't want that.
No.
I got to say, nobody dislikes the Astros cheating more than I do. I think everybody, this isn't an argument that has two sides to it. I mean, there's nobody on the side of the Astros. Hey, I'm glad they cheated. You know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, that whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, everybody agrees what the Astros did was just awful for baseball. It cost two people their jobs. Now both of those people are back in big league baseball. You can say to that whatever it is you want. But chanting in unison at the top of their lungs what the Yankee fans are currently chanting toward Jose Altuve, sorry, it's a little much for me. A little much for me.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. You know what? If you've got something inventive, fine. But straight up with what they're chanting.
And you can find it all over Twitter.
Yeah, just go to Twitter and you know, honestly, don't call it up on your phone if you're driving home and your kids are in the car. You know, I mean, you honestly don't want them to hear it. And it's kind of embarrassing to the Yankee fans. It really is. I mean, you've had like, what, 3 years to come up with something?
Yeah.
And this is the best you can do?
Yeah, that's very true. Good point. Be more, like you just said, be more inventive. Be more creative.
A little bit more inventive is what I'm shooting for here. So anyway.
Like have buzzers or something around the yard. I don't know. Something better than.
I don't know. Do something really inventive like. Throw a couple of trash cans out on the field.
Oh, wait,
that's already taken by the Angel fans.
It's already been done.
Yeah, it's already been done.
I understand what you're saying. I do. And I'm surprised that you're taking the hard stance on let's not chant that. Yankees fans are going to do what Yankees fans do.
And we shouldn't just accept that. You know, it's not like we just accept, like, what are Royals fans not allowed to chant that?
I would never expect to hear it from Royals fans. I mean, we just know that Yankees fans are crazy and they're over the top and they're.
Yeah, but you know what? To me, it's not an excuse for what they're chanting right now. It's a bad look. It's a bad look. The Astros, they deserve to be booed. They deserve to be rooted against. And I'm not rooting for them. But this is over. This whole thing's kind of over now. And the Yankee fans say, oh, no, it's not over until we get our shot at them.
Well, there you go. You did.
And now you've got your shot at them, and you're behaving like a bunch of idiots. So that's frankly the way I see it. We'll see.
I'm really concerned about the TV and radio broadcast because I would know, honestly, I would not know what to do in that situation.
Yeah,
if
you were actually broadcasting that game right now in New York, you couldn't help but hear the chant. I mean,
it's coming through your mics. And
yeah, I mean, it's absolutely drowning out the play out on the field.
It is loud. I encourage everyone when they're in a safe spot to go watch it.
In a safe spot to go watch it.
Yeah,
away from your kids.
Yes.
All right, some other baseball news. We mentioned Nelson Lamed is getting the start tonight. We will hear from Jace Tingler on that in a couple seconds. But the Padres really aren't the only team having issues with injuries, with poor performances, and I don't want to say poor performances. The Padres aren't having a lot of poor performances, just not up to snuff performances from time to time. But my point is Dodgers starter Clayton Kershaw today, one inning, four runs, and taken out of the ballgame by Dave Roberts after one bad inning today. So the Padres aren't the only team getting starting pitchers pitching short spurts. Even Kershaw victimized by that today. Cubs went on to beat the Dodgers in that game 7-1. So the Padres got a little help from the Cubs. Did not get any help from the Rockies. Their starting pitcher today, Germán Márquez, excuse me, all he did was give up 10 runs in the top of the first inning. That's all. San Francisco Giants are pounding the Rockies 12-4 in the first of a doubleheader. That's the bad news. And the really bad news is that it's only the first of a doubleheader. They get to play them again. Giants, with that win, will go to 6-1 against the Rockies. The Dodgers are also 6-1 against the Rockies. The Padres are 0-0 against the Rockies. And I remind everybody to keep that in your hip pocket. Padres still have a whole bunch of games left with the Rockies that the Dodgers and Giants do not. Some other baseball news. Christian Yelich, right back on the injured list. He was back with the Brewers for one game and then returns to the injured list with back injuries. Mets starter Jacob deGrom scratched from his start tonight, right lat inflammation. It's funny, everybody's got their own little saying, right? For the Padres, it's always right forearm soreness.
Subluxations.
Subluxations. The Mets have lat inflammation for Jacob deGrom. I don't even know what that means.
It means that his...
I know. I'm just saying.
His lat is swollen.
I don't even need to... Okay.
I was just putting it into layman's terms.
I'm not going to repeat that. But my point is, I mean, you got Kershaw with issues. You got Milwaukee... They've got Corbin Burns, their star pitcher's on the injured list. Yelich is going back on the injured list. Now the Mets lose Jacob deGrom. You know, he's not on the injured list, but he scratched from his start. It is an epidemic in baseball this year, and it's obviously a result of having played such a short season a year ago, 60 games, and trying to follow it up with a full 162-game season this year. That's got to have something to do with the fact that none of these guys can stay healthy. And, I mean, it's all over baseball. It seems like here in San Diego, it's only happening to the Padres. But that's not the case. It's happening to everyone around baseball. And I just thought I'd point that out. But
I mean, Dustin May, they just Dodgers
Dustin
just
May,
lost
yeah, he's done
year.
For the year.
And maybe even parts of, who knows, maybe even parts of next year.
Oh, I would think it'll be parts of next year. Same with Adrian Moynihan. I mean, when you undergo the Tommy John surgery, you definitely miss some time, and it's usually longer than a year before you're healthy again. But speaking of being healthy, what about the Nelson Lamet? Is he ever going to be back? Is he going to be healthy? Is he going to be able to get the job done for the Padres? Well, we'll start finding out tonight because he's getting the call here, his second start after a two-inning debut a couple of weeks ago. And anyway, Jace Tingler took an awful long time before naming his starting pitcher for this ballgame tonight. And finally, the Padres made the announcement about 1:30, 2 o'clock this afternoon. So Jace Tingler was asked this evening in his pregame news conference what the final thing that they were waiting on before they decided to finally go with Lamet.
To make sure when he came in today and obviously throwing 2 days ago, just wanted to make sure, you know, that he was feeling well and ready to go. So, you know, once we kind of got that confirmed and he checked in, you know, with the training room and the pitching coaches, that's really, you know, ultimately what we were just kind of waiting for.
All right, so that's what they finally found out. Last night, Jace Tingler said they were going to make the announcement after the game.
I
did too. I was hosting the postgame show.
I know, you were
waiting for
it.
But never came. Also said that they were going to make the announcement first thing in the morning. That didn't happen either. But like I said, in this day and age of the COVID pandemic and all the secrecy, you know, shrouding these Major League Baseball teams. Teams are taking advantage of that to, you know, take their time with announcing these decisions. But Lamet will make the start tonight. So what are the expectations for the Padres right-hander?
Definitely going to have a pitch count tonight. You know, I'm not going to get into the specifics of like what his plan is, but, you know, obviously go out and, you know, battle and pitch well and equally important. It'd be a, you know, huge win to pitch well and to come out healthy and continue to build off that.
All right. So, you know what? This is national security that we're talking about here. I'm not going to tell you what the plan is for DeNelson tonight and how many pitches he's going to go. I'm not being critical of Jace Tingler. I'm being critical of all Major League Baseball and the managers and the general managers. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to throw 40 or 50 pitches. He's going to throw two or three innings. You could tell us. It's not like if the Pirates know that, they're going to have some huge advantage going into the game tonight. Everybody's aware that DeNelson Lamet is coming off of a big injury. Everybody is aware that he only lasted two innings his last start. Nobody's expecting him to throw 150 pitches in a 7-hit shutout complete game tonight. You know, but It's just the way baseball is. And it, again, I know it sounds like I'm picking on Jace. I'm not picking on Jace. This is how all big league managers all around the major leagues make announcements on stuff now. They all feel it's like when you go to the mound, right? And the pitching coach is talking to the pitcher.
Yeah.
They all cover their mouth.
Yeah.
Because why?
You can read their lips.
Because who's reading their lips?
It all came
and
from
what
the NFL.
Are they reading?
It all came from the NFL, really, when they put their cards over their mouths.
I know. It's, you know, I guess it's all the Astros' fault, so we should just listen to the Yankee fans tonight.
That is not a bad thought, because people are so
scared that everybody's cheating out
yes,
there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And the whole thing with people stealing signs on second and they throw back and then they have to visit the mound to get on the same page, it's like, guys, calm down. Like, this is not national security. It really isn't. It's baseball.
That's what I said. But, you know, it just it seems to be treated as if it's, you know, ridiculously important that we're not given privy to the information that, you know, how many pitches Denelson Lamet might throw tonight. Okay, fine.
Maybe they don't have an answer themselves.
Oh, they have it. But what are you kidding me?
I'm just trying to think.
You think
of
they're going
things.
Into the game with no idea of how many pitches? If he gets through three innings or more than 40 pitches tonight,
I will
be beyond stunned.
Yeah.
I will be beyond stunned. What I'm already wondering is who's going to come in. Because Stammen pitched two innings last night. Are they going to go with Pierce Johnson and the two-inning guy tonight? Are they going to be able to go with Emilio Pagan for more than an
they
inning
have
tonight?
They Chris back. They brought him
Nabil
up yesterday.
Nabil Chrismet may have to go two innings tonight. A couple guys may have to. But basically, in my mind, what I'm expecting is another bullpen night for the San Diego Padres. The only difference being, instead of Miguel Diaz starting as he did last night, Denelson Lamet will be starting tonight. And you know what? That's okay. Because nobody does a bullpen night better than the San Diego Padres. My goodness, are they good at it. I think Jace Tingler loves it. He loves a bullpen night. He can't wait to get to his bullpen. He is itching to get to that bullpen.
Why do you think that is? He just loves bullpen pitching?
No, I think...
He just knows his bullpen's good?
I think the organization... I've said this before, and I got to be a little careful with how I word this.
Oh, I like it.
I think the organization is overly concerned with injuries.
Okay.
I just do. And maybe they feel like they have a right to be overly concerned with injuries because they've had so many guys hurt. But I've always kind of felt that if you play to avoid injuries, you tend to get more injuries. Mm-hmm. So I think the Padres are being very careful. You know, it's in their mind, this season is all about what happens in October. And that's all they're really concerned with is what happens in October. And, you know, as long as everybody's healthy or as many guys as possible are healthy in October, then all's going to be good. And, you know, that's a good thing. But at the same time, you know, there are games that matter that are being played right now. And I honestly think there's only one guy that Jace Tingler trusts to pitch into the seventh inning right now, and that's Yu Darvish. I think Joe Musgrove kind of has that okay. I know Blake Snell doesn't have it, and I know none of these other guys have it because they're all injured. But I think the Padres have been overly cautious at times. Fernando Tatis is Jr. sitting out of the lineup tonight. Tommy Pham is out of the lineup again tonight.
Tommy Pham's just getting started, too.
It seems like Tommy Pham's trying to break out of his slump a little bit. Every time he gets a couple of hits or had a big at-bat last night with that sac fly, he's back on the bench. You know, but we don't know. We're just not privy to it. We're not privy to the – maybe, you know, feels a little tightness in his hamstring today. Yeah, we don't know. We have no idea. We can't go down and interview any of these people.
I'm just going to start yelling, like, in the stadium.
Stop. No.
Tommy, yeah. Tommy, how's your hammy?
That's the only way you're going to find out.
Exactly. I mean, how else are you going to find out?
All right. We'll take a timeout when we come back, more on the Major League Baseball front for you. And then Brent Sobleski at the bottom of the hour to talk NFL draft. I'm Chris Ello for Tony Gwynn Jr. and Mr. Scraby. It's Gwynn and Chris until 6 tonight on San Diego's number one sports talk station. Let's check some traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per
per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back to the show. 5:24 is the time. Chris Ella, Mr. Scraby alongside Tony Gwynn Jr. getting set to call Padres baseball tonight. Padres and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Denelson Lamet gets the call tonight for the Padres. We'll see how long he lasts in his second start of the season, coming off the injured list. I just had a call from Jim off the air. Said that he's feeling it, that it'll be... Who do you say?
He said the 1-2 punch of Denelson Lamet and Ryan Weathers.
Ryan Weathers would get the call after Denelson Lamet tonight. Well, let's explore that a little bit. Jace Tingler did talk about Ryan Weathers, who is also kind of on the mend right now. Here's what Jace had to say about Weathers.
We really haven't gotten past looking at our starters, you know, with Darvish going tomorrow and then the off day. And with just a lot of questions we have, we really haven't gotten into the San Francisco or Colorado series yet. So I think that's something we'll probably do right after Darvish throws tomorrow, and we'll start to line those things up.
All right, unless Jace Tingler is completely lying, don't worry about it. Ryan Weathers pitching tonight. He's not going to be pitching tonight. But thanks for the call, Jim. It was a good thought.
It was, and it might happen. Who knows?
Yeah, right. I mean, Jace Tingler would have to kind of explain that himself out of that. But
Jim, if it happens, please call us tomorrow.
I don't even know that Ryan Weathers is on the active list right now. I'm having so much trouble keeping tabs of who's up, who's down, who's on the injured list, who's not. I believe Miguel Diaz was sent back down to the alternate site tonight to make room for Denelson Lamet. So it just continues to be kind of a card shuffle for the San Diego Padres starting pitching staff. But thankfully, the bullpen is as good as any in all of baseball and just been absolutely spectacular and getting it done last night. I know everybody said, well, that was a 6-inning job by the bullpen. It's really a 9-inning job. I mean, Miguel Diaz, to me, is part of the bullpen. He just was starting the game because they didn't have anybody else to do it. So, you know, that's basically a nine-inning shutout by the bullpen. So that's fantastic work.
Can I ask you something real quick that came into my mind last night?
You know what? No.
Okay. Let's move on.
It
was if Miguel Diaz has a perfect game going – do you just ride it until he gives up that perfect game?
No.
So you don't give him any shot?
No.
To keep going?
No, because you'd in this day and age, for sure, you would tear up his arm. That would be the end of it.
Okay. So, well, that would be bad.
I don't think you could, you know,
in
ask
the quest
the guy
for a perfect game, do you break your arm off? It's not good.
I mean, 3 innings is a little early to even be judging whether or not a guy could have a perfect game. I mean, he gave up a hit last night, a couple of walks, but for the most part, he did a pretty good job.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't say for the most part. He did a really good job. I just think it's funny. And I'm not being critical of Miguel Diaz at all. I mean, under the circumstances, to throw 3 shutout innings was a big-time deal. But it's just funny to me how people keep talking about what an unbelievable performance he turned in last night. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? He threw 3 shutout innings in the big leagues. It's good. I mean, it's not bad. But it's not incredible, you know, to throw 3 shutout innings in the big leagues. But they make it seem that way nowadays in Major League Baseball.
It does seem
you
like,
get through 3 shutout innings and you're a fill-in starter, that's a remarkable job. And then again, look at, you know, Kershaw today, couldn't get through the first inning. Look at Germán Márquez today, couldn't get through the first inning. So maybe 3 shutout innings is a big deal in the big leagues. Tyler Anderson pitched 6 no-hit innings last night. Nobody was talking about that, right?
Didn't, oh, yeah.
Nobody even cared. Guy pitched six no-hit innings last night.
Well, no one knows who he is.
Well, that's not true. I mean, he's a guy that's been around for quite a while. He's always given the Padres problems. Even when he was with the Rockies, he used to pitch pretty well against the Padres. But, hey, they got to him in the seventh inning, and I think the key was that walk that Machado drew to kind of get the rally started there. And then Myers finally got a hit and broke the seal. Tommy Pham had a great at-bat. I mean, two strikes, comes through with the big sacrifice fly. I can't count. That was almost to the warning track. It wasn't quite to the warning track. But I think Tommy Pham leads the majors in flying out to the warning track this year.
Yeah, he's getting killed by this new ball.
Either the new ball or the weather in April at Petco Park.
One or the other. That could be a point, too. Yeah, because we didn't see Tommy Pham play baseball in April in Petco last year.
That's right. So, you know, he's coming up a little short, and hopefully it'll get going for Tommy Pham. All right, we'll take a time out. Giants did beat the Rockies 12-4 in the first of that doubleheader. So Padres are a game and a half behind the Giants right now. They are currently tied with the Dodgers after the Dodgers lost their first game of a doubleheader to the Cubs today. So that's where things stand in the NL West. Next up, we'll switch over and talk some NFL draft with Brent Sobleski of Bleacher Report. Back to the program, 5:35 is the time. Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. getting set to call tonight's game. Pirates and Padres will have the pregame show coming up for you at the top of the hour. But right now, Scrabier and I are going to delve into some NFL draft coverage. Cleveland, Ohio, the home of the football universe last week, home for the NFL draft, and that's where we always find our friend Brent Sobleski of Bleacher Report. How are you, Brent?
I'm doing well. I'm still recovering, but it's okay. It was a really good hangover from all the work that commenced during the weekend. And great, and gentlemen, it was just a great weekend, I think, for the NFL, for fans, and anyone that enjoys the off season and all the different things that occur when it comes to rosters. So very successful all around.
What was the behind the tribute to the Macho Man Randy Savage in Cleveland? We were watching that on TV, and we found out, I guess he's from Columbus, or he was from Columbus, so that made some sense. But the guy who was dressed up like him was out on stage for like, it seemed like a half an hour.
Yeah, that wasn't a tribute. That is a local super fan that dresses like that to every game.
So, okay.
it's not like he did it just for the draft. That is him normally.
Okay.
Hey, what a Cleveland's finest, obviously.
Yes, showing off the great fans of Cleveland, Ohio. Well, the draft was a success. I'm going to let Scraby ask you about the 49ers because that's his favorite team. But give me a couple of picks in the first round that you liked and didn't like. And save the 49ers for Scraby.
Well, I mean, where you have to start with the Chicago Bears, right? With getting Justin Fields at the 11th overall pick. To me, that selection alone won them the draft, for lack of a better term. Now, the rest of their class was actually very good, and I believe they had the number one class coming out in its entirety. But the fact that Ryan Pace positioned them and was aggressive enough to trade up for Justin Fields and get potentially a franchise-changing talent at the game's most important position, which has been an issue in Chicago for decades upon decades.
Yeah.
To me, that was a gargantuan move, and I think it could really change the entire direction of the Bears franchise. Now, I will put an asterisk on that because situation matters, right? This is something I say all the time with prospects. You can make a great draft pick, but it doesn't mean he's going to be successful based on the situation in which he's placed. It now falls under Matt Nagy and his staff to fully cultivate his talent and get the most out of Justin Fields. If they do not, then they will not have a job most likely next year. And that doesn't mean you need to rush him in the lineup, but you need to have potential and show that you're trending in the right direction. When you get past Fields, I like what the Los Angeles Chargers did. When you just stand pat, get Rashawn Slater, the guy who is the most technically proficient offensive lineman in the draft. You have completely redone your front five except for Brian Bulaga, who is the one holdover. You protect your rookie quarterback or your rookie of the year quarterback, excuse me. And that's really a big theme here, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that I liked comparative to those I didn't. So, for example, I love what the Chargers did. I did not like what the Cincinnati Bengals did. And believe me, I've been hearing about it for five straight days. Because while I think Ja'Marr Chase is an exceptional talent, and he's every bit worthy of that selection as wide receiver one in the draft class, to me, that's not proper team building. You knew you had a number one need at the offensive line. You passed on a guy that we've heard multiple sources prior to the draft say he has Hall of Fame potential, yet you bypassed him for a wide receiver. So, to me, that did not make sense. Furthermore, when you go down towards the end of the first round, again, try to make your quarterback happy. What didn't the Green Bay Packers do? They didn't make their quarterback happy. And why? Because you continually bypass those opportunities to put elite talent around him and make that offense even more electric. And obviously he's unhappy. You could have maybe assuaged that a little bit along the way by giving a first-round receiver, and yet you stubbornly didn't do so for the second straight year, and quite frankly, since he's been the quarterback. So, you know, when I look at it, it's all about getting those quarterbacks and building around them. Some teams were very successful. Others weren't, in my opinion.
Let me really ask you quickly about Justin Fields and the fact that how he and why he dropped to the 11th spot. I mean, are we going all the way back to the days of Dan Marino here where it was just kind of a mirage? I mean, some people just saying that he had a bad attitude and didn't work hard, and that's why he fell, and now he's going to jump up and be one of the best players in the draft?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I thought the way it was handled this offseason was just shameful. And I'm saying that based on everything that we know of him as a young man, that the way he's played as a talent, the looking at his potential and his natural ability. So the way I look at it is this. When I came into this year's draft class, it was Trevor Lawrence and it was Justin Fields, and there wasn't that much of a discrepancy between the two. Huh. Justin Fields was a better quarterback in 2019. I think that's undeniable, the way he played. He also outplayed Trevor Lawrence when they met, when their two teams met this year in the Sugar Bowl.
That's
now,
right.
Lawrence earned that number one spot. Don't get me wrong. He continually showed improvement from his slow start in 2019 and became the quarterback everyone we expect him to be. But that doesn't mean that Justin Fields fell completely off the planet. It just means that he has been the next available talent. I find it ironic that we tear down a young man like Justin Fields, and yet we prop up a Zach Wilson. And that's not a slight against Zach Wilson, but he had one good year, one, against very poor competition. Not his fault, but it's a reality of the situation. So while I like Zach Wilson in New York in that system, at the same time, are we certain that he was that dead-to-rights number two pick and that he should have been that guy? I'm not. So why is everybody else? And that, to me, that's really the question mark. When you have talents that were at to the level of a Justin Fields, who is every bit to the point of Trey Lance and Zach Wilson, yet it was that singular individual who was torn down throughout this entire process and basically became a target. And I find that truly unfortunate.
Yeah, we talked about that on the show as well, that it was just unfounded chatter from people that he's not a hard worker, all this other stuff. But I think the listeners at this point, we're talking with Brett Zableski from Bleacher Report about the NFL draft. I think the listeners at this point are very tired of hearing from me about Trey Lance and the 49ers because live on the air, we made the pick and I had a meltdown about how much I hated it and all this other stuff. And I have been trying.
We had to run and get tissue from the bathroom.
Stop,
Brent. I mean, it was that bad.
Stop. I have been trying since that day to find out why the 49ers are so in love with Trey Lance, and I have been waiting for your opinion on this because I think they should have taken Justin Fields. I even had a source say they were going to take Justin Fields, but they didn't. They took Trey Lance, and they're very excited about it. What are your thoughts on Trey Lance to the 49ers?
Well, here's the best argument you can make for that pick. They didn't select Mac Jones.
There
you go. That's
true.
To make you feel better.
True. That is very good.
That's about the
And that's not trying to slam Mac Jones because I think he was a first round prospect and he landed exactly in the area and to the team that where he needed to go. I think he'll be spectacular for the Patriots down the road. The reason why you take Trey Lance there, and it's a bit ironic because what's the first two things you hear about him when it comes to his evaluation? One, he's from the FCS, so level competition, and two, he only started one full season and he's 20 years old. So the irony is this. He may be arguably the most pro-ready quarterback of the bunch. Based on what North Dakota State does on a regular basis within their offense, he is going to come in automatically knowing how to make 3, 5, 7 steps drops, play with his back to the defense with the play-action game, get comfortable in the pro-style concepts that North Dakota State actually utilizes within their championship level program. And so that, to me, that's important. He's going to have that understanding. He's going to fit in naturally. But the most important part to me is this, especially when you're comparing him to Mac Jones, which was really the conversation, because I tend to agree. I would have taken Fields myself. I just explained why. But if you're taking Lance, it's for the same reason. He's dynamic. He expands your playbook. He allows you to do more and become harder to defend. With that athleticism, with the pocket movement you see consistently, Kyle Shanahan's offense, the bootlegs, you start adding in zone reads, more RPOs. I think that could be an unstoppable unit when Trey Lance finally gets in there and gets rolling.
I like that unstoppable word. You put me up. Brett has been my football guy for like 4 years now, and he's always
put you in a little better frame of mind.
Yes, it does. Thank you. I'm gonna go home with a smile today.
I like it better when Scraby's whining and cranky, but you did a nice job there, Brent. Brent Cebulski from Bleacher Report is our guest here. Offense was the theme of the early part of the draft, right? Everybody drafted offense in the first round, and I don't know what records were set, but I know I read about a few things where more offensive players picked than ever before. Are there any defensive players that can make a difference that were picked in this draft in the first round or maybe even later? Number one. Number two, is there ever going to be a defensive playmaker again in the NFL? Because everything is set up for offense anyway.
Well, it is. You're absolutely right. It makes it hard. But there's absolutely defensive playmakers and guys that can affect how you approach the game, the way you set up your offense and the way you attack opposing defenses. Because the thing is, in the NFL today, it's a mismatch league. So it's not necessarily about the great players you have on your defense. It's who's the weakest link and how can they exploit them. So essentially, you're trying to put together your best overall unit. And in doing so, you're trying to get the best available talent at each of the three levels. And so looking at it, the one player to me that I loved for selection, I love for fit, I love what his upside is, and more importantly, for anyone that knows the young man, I love his story, is Kwity Paye, who went to the Indianapolis Colts with the 21st overall pick. Look, Justin Houston's not in Indianapolis right now. There has been talk they could potentially re-sign him. I don't know if that's going to move forward or not now that they have Paye. But to me, he was the number one edge rusher in this class. That obviously that comes with an asterisk because Jalen Phillips, he has the injury history that's very, very questionable. You don't know exactly how he's going to perform once you put him in that situation. But I saw Paye as your prototypical defensive end. You're talking 6'3"-ish, 270 pounds, very active, very strong, freaky athletic. And I'm not using that as a term in endearment. He was literally number one on Bruce Feldman's freak athlete in college football last year. So when you place him in that situation, make him your number one guy as a pass rusher and a defense that's already very, very good and one of the most disciplined in all of the NFL. To me, he has all the makings of potentially turning into a superstar, especially when offenses also have to take into account the force Buckner along the interior. So while you're trying to double team Buckner and he's collapsing that interior pocket, here comes Kwity Paye screaming off the edge.
Brent Cebulski, Bleacher Report, talking NFL draft with us. And this is draft related, but I was very curious to hear what Deion Sanders said about some of the players in the HBCU, which is historically black colleges and universities. He coaches at Jackson State now, and there's other ones like Grambling, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on some of the other universities, but he was basically saying that no one's giving these kids a fair shot. And my thought is, these scouts and everything from NFL teams are trying to turn over every single rock in the world, trying to find the next great player. What are your thoughts on those criticisms from Deion?
I think one, his criticism is one of the primary reasons why he is currently a head coach at that level, because his name recognition and value will bring in higher regarded prospects that will translate more regularly to the next level. And second of all, any division outside of the Power Five conferences, really, we're at a disadvantage this year. And I'm not trying to make excuses. It was just the reality of the situation. If you went to a smaller school, you didn't have as many your opportunities to prove yourself. You know, you didn't have the big, huge pro days. You didn't have all the available information to scouts. It was a very, very difficult process for NFL teams. And the best way to look at it is, there was probably fewer guys on NFL boards this year than we've ever seen, just in general. So knowing that because of everything that happened with opt-outs and because all the seasons that were skewed or moved or even still playing now in the spring, this made life difficult. And we saw, and even in the weekend of the draft, teams were still getting information, medical information on some of these prospects, and why we saw some of them slide a little bit during the NFL draft. Jeremy Owusu-Koramoah being drafted by Cleveland Browns, many pegged him as a top 20 pick. He fell in the second round. Now, obviously, there's reasons for that. It's not just medical, but it did come up that there was potentially a heart issue that Adam Schefter reported. So these things, when they pop up late or you don't have the opportunity or all the information at your fingertips, it makes it much harder for the evaluation process.
I got to be honest with you, man. Brent is phenomenal on stuff.
He's always ready
to go. It's great talking with you on football. It's great talking with you on the schedule release, which is coming out in about a week. It's great talking with you on the draft. Really fun stuff, Brent. Wish we had more time. Got to make way for our Padre coverage tonight. But let's catch up with you soon again, and look forward to talking again. Great stuff. I feel so much smarter right now than I did 10 minutes ago.
Wait a second. I put out a 2022 mock draft already. Why aren't we talking about that?
Whoa.
There are some shows that would want to get a hold of you and talk about that. We are not one of them, unfortunately.
Well,
we're still trying to digest
you.
What we had for 2021.
All right, let me ask you. Who's the number one overall pick in your mind 2022?
I listed Spencer Rattler from Oklahoma, the quarterback. Look, everyone says it every year. The next year's quarterback class is crap, but guess what happens every single year the following draft? Those quarterbacks are sitting there at number one. So it's going to be fun. It's just get the names out there and for everyone to know who to watch when we get to our next college football season. But otherwise, gentlemen, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure, and absolutely I had a blast covering the draft and talking with you.
Thanks so much, Brent. Great stuff, as always. Always great talking to Brent Sobleski there. Bleacher Report. Check out his stuff on Bleacher Report. There's nobody – he's non-peril when it comes to informative NFL stuff for you. All right.
Let me drop his Twitter handle real quick.
Yes.
At BrentSob, as in boy, Leski. Brent Sobleski.
Yeah. Boy, is he good. And that was some – I mean, stuff – hey, look, if you interest me – in your draft discussion,
you're in.
You've done something.
Yes, you've done something.
You know,
Chris. Chris glazes over a little bit in the draft.
Yeah,
time.
I do. I don't. I, what?
Huh?
Close the window. That's the only draft I know about. Let's check traffic real quick, and then we'll get into our daily game.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit.
Mr. Scraby, I understand both of us won last night
in
our Daily
sure
Gambit
did.
Picks. We started the week with $100, and we are now one day into the week, and we have more than $100. Oh, my goodness.
And we're breaking the bank with this, right?
Yeah.
Here. We're breaking the bank.
How much money did we win last night? Can we buy, like, our own casino?
Well, no, you cannot. Oh. But you can buy a nice bag of popcorn at the movies or something like that. Because
I win $5?
You won $16.
I can buy two bags.
Okay. No, I don't know about that
anymore. Yeah, you might be right. I can only buy one.
I haven't been in the movies in
forever. Maybe I can buy two without butter.
Oh, you gotta have
as long butter. As I keep the butter off.
You gotta have the butter.
I like to have butter on my popcorn, but what they give you at the movies is not
it's
butter.
It's not butter. No. It's definitely not butter. It's oil with butter
yellow
flavoring.
Oil. Yeah.
But we made our bet on, you know what? Actually, we have to say this. That was Bleacher Report's Brent Sobleski on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad.
Let's
Fan
remind
Hotline.
Everybody of that.
Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads.
All right. Thank you, Brent. And thank you to our good friends there at Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad.
Absolutely.
Didn't mean to forget them. We were just so excited by our visit with Brent Sobleski today. That's
absolutely.
All.
All right. So we bet on total strikeouts because we didn't have a line on Miguel Diaz last night. So it was only Tyler Anderson. They had over under 5.5. We both went under 5.5, and he had 5. So we did.
Ooh.
Just barely made it, but we did. You put down $20 on the under 5.5, so you won $16 at minus 125 is the odds. I put down $25 So I won $20 on that for the -125. We lost the other two bets, which was Machado, or it was you chose Machado to homer. I chose Philip Evans to homer. They didn't. That was only a $10 bet for you, $15 bet for me. Kevin Newman to steal a base for you, $10. He did not. Trent Grisham for me, I put $20. He did not. So, after our results, you are sitting with $116 in your bank account, sir. Okay. And I am sitting with $110 in my bank account.
So I won 16, you won 10 last night.
I won 16. All right. So before we get into the bets, we have to do this.
KWFN-FM and KWFN HD1 San Diego.
This is Manny Machado from the San Diego Padres. 2021 Padres, stay here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Odyssey Station.
It was very nice of Manny to pop in.
Thank you, Manny.
Getting ready for the game.
Yeah.
All right. So
make sure you
bets.
Run to first base tonight, hard,
okay.
Manny. Hang on a second.
All right.
Because I'm tired of hearing about it from the Twitter people.
Okay. Thank you.
I really am.
I agree with that sentiment.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay. The first thing, we don't really have any of these.
Like somehow it's my fault that Manny Machado doesn't run as hard as they think he should to first
base.
Well,
it is. It is
ridiculous.
You wish against him to run to first base.
I know.
All
I do
all the time.
Yeah.
The first bet we're going to make, there's no pitcher bets as strikeouts because Denelson Lamet was named late, and I don't understand why they don't have a Mitch Keller line. But anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to pick our five-inning line. So you can do a tie here. It's a three-way money line. So whoever's winning after five innings, you will get the we can make a bet on that. So the odds are +235 for the Pirates. So if they lead after five innings,
right,
you can win some money.
Okay.
If they tie, both teams are the same score, +500, which would have been last night.
Right.
And the Padres are -155 if they lead after the five innings. Okay. So, Chris, you're up first. Which way are you going with this?
I hate betting 155 to win 100. I just don't like that. I do think the Padres are going to be ahead, but I'm going to go ahead and take a shot on the Pirates having a slight 2-1 lead or something like that.
Okay, so 2-1 lead.
No,
not how much are you betting?
I'm not betting the score. I'm just betting the fact that $10 on the Pirates to be ahead.
$10, that's it?
Yes, I'm +16. I'm protecting my advantage right now. It's not the only bet we're making tonight, right?
No.
All right. I don't feel strongly about it. I just feel enough to bet on the Pirates to be ahead after five innings tonight.
All right. I am going to go. You know what? I'm a very impulsive person.
Yes.
And I'm going to go $30 out of my $110 that I have for the week. And I'm going to say that it's a tie score after five innings.
Tie score after five innings.
And that's +500.
Okay. You got it.
You got it. Chris is like, thank you.
Tie score?
Yeah.
$30. Man, you'd be at $1,500 if you get that one.
That would be pretty crazy. I cannot believe that a tie after five innings is +500, but
yeah.
All right.
Let's see what happens.
And that would be $150, I believe.
Yeah, okay. Still, nice payout.
All right, the next line is going to be, how many innings does Denelson Lamet pitch? And it's going to be, the line is set at 2, Chris.
2 innings over or under?
Over or under 2 innings.
2 innings is exactly what he pitched last time. So difficult to tell because we know he's on a pitch count, although Jace Tingler won't tell us what the pitch count is. Jace Tingler being very coy, protecting the gambling interests out there. I say he gets an out in the third inning, which means he's over 2 innings.
How much are you going to bet?
$25.
All right, $25 on him getting past 2 innings.
Yeah. That's really, boy, am I feeling risky on that one. Because, I mean, who knows? Denelson Lamet can throw one pitch and walk off the mound.
You are, because that's a +150 bet right there, buddy.
Yeah, well, I like it.
All right, I'm going to go that he goes 2 innings.
And I'm betting exactly?
Yeah.
You're betting to push?
I'm betting to...
How do you make any money betting to push?
Right.
You got to bet one way or the other.
I mean, I can't go under.
Huh? Then you got to
bet.
Or you can pass.
No, I can't. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say $15 that he goes. Oh my gosh! 1 inning.
Wow! It's going to be under.
I know. I just made a stupid decision.
My goodness. Well, the Padres bullpen better hope you're wrong. Let's be honest. I mean, they just can't afford to pitch 7 or 8 more innings tonight.
Very true. All right,
he's got to go more than 2 innings.
The last bet that we're going to make tonight is going to be, I scrolled just by it right now. Oh, total runs is what we're going to do.
Total runs.
Yes. So I have a list of total runs.
Is that, you have to bet the actual number, or is it an over-under?
It's an over-under. So okay. Let's, what do you think the total runs are going to be?
Well, after a 2-0 game last night, I think there'll be at least 10 runs scored tonight.
Wow.
So I'll say 6-4 type of game. So I say 10.
All right, so we'll put the line at 9.5, and you're going to go over, which is the plus 185.
You're putting the you're making the line based on what I say?
But that's what the computer has. It says total runs over under 5.5. You know, is they're all different odds. Am I confusing you?
Yes, you're very much confusing me. Is there an actual?
Okay, here we go.
Is there an actual over under for total runs in this game?
Yes, over under of the total runs in this game is 7.5.
Thank you. Then I'm betting over for sure.
You're going over, which is an even bet.
Yes.
And I will go. How much money?
7.5 runs. I'm going like $50.
50.
Yeah, you said I was a wuss, so I'm gonna be aggressive.
All right, over 7.5 runs for that. I am gonna not have any money left, but I'm gonna go $30 on under.
Okay. What is the music there coming in that I'm hearing?
Daily Gambit.
Oh, it's Daily Gambit music. Yeah. My bad.
It's okay. So I am minus 120 for under 7.5 runs.
Okay. You're going under.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is a big deal. We got to get over 7.5.
This will make or break our week.
Yeah.
And that's minus 120. All right, that's it.
Okay.
Oh, I need to pick the score.
Oh, yeah. Before we get out of here, the Scraby picks the score of the game every night just to prove that he can't actually pick the score of the game.
I'm realizing slowly but surely that this is going to take a while.
Last night he picked Pirates 5, Padres 3. I don't believe that was the final score.
It was not. So okay.
What are you picking tonight for a final score?
I'm going to pick, if it's under 7.5, I'm going to go 4-3 Padres.
4-3 Padres. All right. We can pretty much rest assured that that will not be the final score tonight. But that's what Scraby is picking. Out of here, we got to give away a couple of tickets. We got tickets for those who hung in with us for as long as you did. 2 tickets to see Luke Bryan's Proud to Be Right Here tour. It's coming to North Island Credit Union Amphitheater on September 23rd, 2021. Tickets and information at livenation.com or call right now to win them. 833-288-0973. Scraby said the Padres will score 4 runs tonight, so we'll take the 4th caller. 833-288-0973. If you are that 4th caller, you'll win a pair of tickets to see Luke Bryan's Proud to Be Right Here tour coming to North Island Credit Union on September 23rd. We got to get out of here. Thanks to Tony Gwynn Jr. for Scraby. I'm Chris Ello. Stay tuned. Padre Baseball coming your way next on 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.